We'll give you one, otherwise, or let you borrow one anyway. I don't know if we have too many extra left, so anybody, we may have one or two. I didn't see any hands, so I'm assuming you're all right. Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah chapter 54. Oh, Sway, you took care of that, right? Okay, all right, good. Just checking. Isaiah 54, verses 7 and 8. If you have that, we'll have you stand and stretch. In honor of the reading of God's Word, Isaiah 54, verse 7 and 8. Pay attention this morning. I hope I can be a help to you for about the next 20 minutes is all. And we won't be long. And when I say 20 minutes, it usually means I go 60 minutes. So I'm just kidding. Isaiah 54, verses 7 and 8. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. I'll read that one more time. For a small moment I have forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a That's what it says, a moment. But with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. This morning I want to talk to you about why God hides his face from the righteous. Let's pray and then you may be seated. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we ask you this morning, Lord, that you'd come now and meet with us in this place. We're so thankful, Lord, for the folks that have come. We're so thankful, Lord, for the wonderful blessings you've given us this morning, Father, already. And we're just thankful, Lord, for Sunday school and those that had attended. And we're so thankful, Lord, for the visitors here today. We pray that you'd bless them, especially, Father. We pray for this time now. Use me, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, are you sitting in the place of one who feels forsaken temporarily by God? Forsaken temporarily by God. Abigail, let's sit down, please. Sit down. Elizabeth, you probably need to go sit by them. It's probably going to be a good idea. Forsaken by God. Have you read the Word of God? And maybe sometimes you think it's just impossible to understand. Have you prayed and feel like your prayers are bouncing off the ceiling right back at you? Have you felt when you came to the place in your life where you felt that you were honestly examining your heart? You felt like there was no gross sin in your life. You felt like you were sincere. You felt like you were doing God's will. You felt like all those things were in line. And then you came to God and it was as if he just was ignoring you. Like he turned his back upon you. Like he was hiding his face from you. It's an interesting thing that God said to his people. Sometimes he said, "Do not inquire of me." He did not say, "I am not going to hear you." He did not say, "I'm not going to hear you." He just said, "Do not bother me. Don't inquire of me." Did you ever say that to your child? That's what God says sometimes, amen. Sometimes you tell the kids. Mama say, "Don't bother me right now. I'm busy. I'm fixing supper. Don't trouble me." Sometimes we say that to our kids. Sometimes God says to his own children, "Don't bother me right now." Seemingly, we don't know why. In fact, we can check out a good concordance and you can find the word hide. And God hides his face. God has hid his face, or God's face is hidden from his people. It'll say often in the word of God. In fact, Deuteronomy 31:17 and 18 and also 32:20, it says, God said to his people, "I will hide my face from them." So God says that. He said to Job in Job 13:24, he said, "Wherefore hidest thou," Job said, "wherefore hidest thou thy face. Job said that. Obviously, he felt that way. David in Psalms 44:24 and also in Psalms 88:14 said this, Lord, why hidest thou thy face from me? God's hiding his face from Job. God's hiding his face from David. When David was running from Saul, and Saul had threatened, of course, to kill him, and had taken a spear and hurled the spear against the wall, the Lord said to David, I have hidden my face from you. When David was running from Saul, he looked up and said, Lord, you have hidden your face from me. In Psalms 13:1 also, David said, how long, O Lord, wilt thou hide thy face from me? David then lived in fear constantly that God would once again turn his face from him. It was a great fear that he held on to and had. The worst thing, I think, about hell is the fact that God's face is hidden. Turn from those who perish in hell. God's presence is not there, the Bible teaches us. Now, I believe hell is fire, and I have no patience with these people that, whether they be preachers or evangelists or whoever else, or theologians who say that hell may not be fire. Folks, there's no doubt the Bible teaches hell is fire. There is such a thing as hell fire. God says it is, amen. But the worst thing about hell is not the fire, but rather it's the fact that God is not there. His face is hidden from them. In essence, forever then, God has hidden his face. It's eternal separation from God is what it is. It's easy to understand why God hid his face from someone like Cain. I think we can understand that. It's easy to understand that. Cain killed his brother Abel. Cain rejected God's plan of salvation. He went ahead and offered up a wort sacrifice instead of a blood sacrifice. So he was teaching it was by works instead of by grace. Amen. He rejected God's plan of salvation. It's easy to understand why God would hide his face from him. But when it comes to David, wait a minute. David was what? Righteous, right? Was he not a righteous man for the most part? Yes, he was. He was a saved man. But I can still understand why God would hide his face from David. David killed Uriah after having committed fornication with his wife Bathsheba. That makes sense to me why God would hide his face from him a little bit, I guess. But why would God sometimes come to his people when they were not in sin and hide his face from him? Job was one name we mentioned already. Probably every person in this house this morning has known what it was to come to the place where you felt you could not account for it. You prayed every day, you read your Bible, you came to church, you loved God, but for some unknown reason you just feel like God's hiding his face from you, or God was hiding his face from you maybe, if it's a past tense. But in some cases, I think maybe God does hide his face from you. Why would God come to a person who's trying to serve him and hide his face from him? I think I know why. There's three reasons I want to give them to you this morning. I'll call your attention to each one. Number one, God wants us to stay closer to him. God wants us to stay closer to him. Amen. You get so busy building the church sometimes that we don't always stay as close as I should stay to God, maybe. A Sunday school teacher can get so busy building a Sunday school class, maybe they don't always stay as close to God as they ought to stay to him. God may say, when Todd first got saved, he didn't have all those things to do. Now he does. He used to love to spend time with me, but now he doesn't seem to spend as much time with me. Maybe he says about somebody else in the church, if it Brother Yeager, our song leader, whoever else. Daniel was first saved. He was always seeking me and desired to be close to me. But now he doesn't spend as much time with me. God might say that about you too. We get busy sometimes with the things of God so much even. We're not busy seeking God like we once used to. God wants, amen, for us to seek him. When I was a boy, my mother used to take me shopping. I had something I used to do all the time at these stores, department stores especially, and so forth, where they have clothing and so forth. Look for buttons. Used to love buttons when I was a kid. Amen. And all kinds of buttons. My mom always had at home a big button jar or tub or something like that, and used to like to look through the buttons. And And so anyway, I used to like to collect buttons. And of course, we'd go to those stores, and sometimes it was just her and I. Sometimes my siblings were there, depending what day of the week it was or something. This was kind of before I was really in school, or maybe I was just a kindergartner or something. But I always looked for buttons. She'd say, "Son, stay close to me," of course. She'd be looking at clothes or something like that. But I didn't always listen too well, amen. And I was often wandering off to find some buttons, amen. And then sometimes I was in the middle of one of those clothing racks, amen, helping pull and loosen a few off because I was looking for different kinds of buttons, amen, and they may have different kinds of buttons on different clothing, and I collected those buttons. I used to like to take them home. I'd have a pocket full of them. We leave those stores, amen, and if they weren't too many of them dropping, I'd just help them drop, amen, and found these on the floor, Mom. Yep, they were there right after I pulled them off inside that rack, amen. I'm sure they loved me at the Sears store over there, amen. And I remember one time my brother and sister were with me, and Mom, of course, and she was doing some shopping at Sears, and they were supposed to be keeping a little eye on me. You know how that goes sometimes, amen. And so anyway, I was supposed to be staying close, but I was looking for some buttons as usual. And so anyway, I went looking for buttons inside the racks, amen. That was the favorite place to find them, inside the racks instead of outside. And I mean, you get inside those little racks, you're a little kid, you know, and sometimes, of course, then people come along and they're shopping, you know, and they're going around. They don't know you're inside there, amen. You just duck down real close, and then when you kind of move around as they're pulling off a garment rack, you know, amen, a garment off the rack, amen, you just kind of slide over because you don't want them to see you. And you know, every once in a while they'll be like, "Is there somebody inside there?" And you know, no, nobody's in here. But, you know, you're crawling out the other side while they're on that side saying that, you know, and then crawling underneath another rack, you know, and over so they won't find you, hopefully. But anyway, I was supposed to be being watched by my brother and sister. I got busy looking for buttons, wasn't paying attention. I looked up. I didn't see my brother and sister. Didn't see my mom. She was farther away, I'm sure. I remember looking for them. I couldn't find them. I got scared. I started yelling for them. You know what I found out? Amen. They were inside another rack hiding their faces from me. Amen. It was the big joke for them. Amen. And I stayed real close the rest of the day to everybody. Amen. Why? Because I got scared. Amen. I couldn't find them. Oh, wait a minute. I couldn't see anybody all of a sudden. Hey, Christian, you get so busy working for God. Amen. We forget to seek God. We forget to stay close to Him like we're supposed to. Amen. Does your job consume all your time that you're not close to Him? It can. Does it consume all your thoughts, even when you aren't working? Amen. Even though you come to church, you still forget to stay close to Him sometimes. You got to keep looking. You got to keep seeking. You got to keep trying to stay close to Him. Amen. Hey, that's very important, very important. Hey, soul winner, you win a lot of souls, but wait a minute, what happens? You might forget to stay close to God. So I'm spiritual because I tell a lot of people about Jesus. Hey, that's great, but are you spending time seeking Him? Are you spending time staying close to Him? Amen. Are you spending time in His Word? Amen. You win souls all the time, but spend about 3 minutes a day in prayer to Him every day. You're probably not doing a very good job of seeking Him. Probably not. You aren't probably staying as close to Him as you need to. Just because you win souls, that's not a substitute. Amen. That's supposed to just go along with it. Amen. Number two, let me give you a second thing. God wants us to learn to depend upon Him more. Amen. God wants us to learn to depend upon Him more. I tell you, I can preach a sermon and I can have a great service and have a great day and all of that. And I can take that same sermon that maybe I preached here, and it was just great, and everybody just loved it, and it seemed like it was just everybody was stirred up about it, and in a good way, amen. Other people get stirred up in other ways, but get stirred up about it in a good way, and I go preach it somewhere else, and nothing. Or mediocre, and then I go preach at a third place, and it's just flat. What's happened? I may not have depended on God as much as I should have. Maybe I didn't pray enough before I preached. I've preached messages at other churches. Had great results, amen. And when I preached it, it felt like it was one of the best sermons I'd ever preached, and I'd worked so hard on it, and I'd prayed so much over it, and then we'll preach somewhere, and the altars will be full, and I'll have seen great things happen down there at that church where I preached at, and then all of a sudden I bring it back, and I decide to preach it here one time, and guess what? Nothing happens. Nobody likes it. Nobody responds. What happened? Oh, wait a minute. I can't depend upon a great sermon. Got to depend on a great God. Amen. A great God. God may hide his face from me. Amen. To teach me to be more dependent upon him. Hey, Sunday school teacher. Don't think a great program is going to make for a great class. Amen. Don't think a great lesson is going to make for a great class. You got to depend upon God. Amen. If you want to have things go great, you depend upon yourself. You depend upon your program. You depend upon your outline, your order of service, and not depend upon God. He may hide his face from you. Amen. That can be what happens. Whatever you do in life, Christian, amen, don't forget that God is the real reason for your success, and you must depend upon him. Number three, let me give you a third thing this morning. God turns his back sometimes to make his face sweeter. God turns his back sometimes to make his face sweeter. Amen? It is never, never sweeter than the time that you have not seen it for a while. Did you ever pray and say, God, why did you hide your face from me? Lord, why did you turn from me? Why did it seem like that, God? Oh, how sweet it is. How sweet it is. The face of Jesus. Amen. How sweet. Let me illustrate through a story this morning. This is what had happened. A mother had died, leaving a father and a little boy alone. They waited days for the funeral. And finally the day came and the funeral was conducted. And the father and the little boy were there with their hearts crushed. For in that casket before him lay the body of a wife and a mother. They followed the hearse off to the cemetery. They heard the thud of dirt as it beat upon the casket and held the body of mama and held the body of wife. They got in their car. They drove home after the gatherings were over. Went home to an empty house. Went home finding an empty table. Went home seeing an empty chair that mama usually sat in that wasn't filled anymore. That night, a little boy tucked into bed by dad. And dad went to his room and went to bed. Out of the darkness of the night, the little boy said, Daddy, are you there? The dad did not sleep, and he said, Yes, son, I am here. The little boy missed his mother. He missed the kiss on the brow and the tuck of the cover with the pat on the cheek and the sweet goodnight from mother's lips. A few minutes later, out of the darkness, there came the little boy's voice, and he said, Daddy, can I come sleep with you? But dad said, Why, of course you may. Of course you may. The little boy got out of bed and ran with the pitter-patter of feet on the floor to his daddy's bedroom and crawled in bed with his daddy. And he turned his face toward daddy, and his daddy went off to sleep and was awakened by the little boy's voice as it said through the darkness, Daddy, Daddy. Yes, son, came the dad's voice through the darkness. Daddy, I want to ask you, is your face turned toward me? The dad said, Yes, son. The little boy said, Would you hold my hand? The daddy reached out and took the little boy's hand in his, and the little boy whimpered and said, Oh, Daddy, it's so much easier when you hold my hand and your face is turned toward me. There's something sweeter about God having his face turned toward us when it's been away from us. It's sweeter when he turns it back toward us again. Like the song says, and he walks with me and he talks with me. And he tells me I am his own. And the joys we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. That's why God hides his face from the righteous. Because of those three things. This morning, if he's hiding his face from you, just remember it may just be for a very short time. But once he turns it back, how sweet it will be. Let's stand to our feet. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed.